This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, boo. It's me, Roz. I'm going to conclude my conversation with Seth Jarrett, creator of my favorite TV show of all time, Celebrity Ghost Stories. We've got more to get into on today's episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. But first, I wanted to just, if you didn't hear this news story, you know me. The only time I cover current events is when it's not the stuff that we all need to hear about. but there's a story that I heard that is, it's a wild one. Okay, so apparently, just like last week, there were 28 girls in Colombia, school girls, that were hospitalized after playing with a Ouija board at their school. They were fainting. They were hospitalized for anxiety. I believe I read a report of drool on some of them. Some of them were drooling. First of all, I don't know why these girls were playing a Ouija board at school, but it's just a story that happened. I mean, it did happen. The girls, they went to the hospital after playing a Ouija board. Now, I don't know if it's because, obviously, it would make one think that it's because they got possessed and they had to go to school. I don't know. It's one way to get out of school. You know, you gotta algebra test that day, pull out the Ouija board. I'm not sure the exact reason for why, but the parents are mad. I don't know. So then I was just like doing more, you know, me with my research. And I found this article that is from November of 2022. And it says that 11 children in a different part of Colombia collapsed at their school after playing the Ouija board. They were aged 13 to 17. And they passed out in the hallway. And they were vomiting, they had abdominal pain, muscle spasms. It seems like, now I haven't found exact follow-up articles that had, you know, official diagnoses or anything, but this seems to be, it was, you know, highly suspected that it could have been food poisoning, something that they ate at school, or they had shared germs. But it is weird that it happened right after they were playing the Ouija board. In these two scenarios, I'm keeping my eye on this story. I don't know. It's just it's just, I don't want to say it's a funny story because it's, you know, it's not, but it's like, what? 28 girls. Anyway, let's get to this conversation. Seth Jarrett, he's amazing. I heard so many nice messages from last week's part one. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen and then, you know, catch this one. I love you guys so much. And here we go, part two, with the creator of Celebrity Ghost Stories, Seth Jarrett. On with the show.
I'm curious because you said, you know, some people don't want to, you know, tell the story or tell the story more than once. I know that there are people who are afraid to tell their stories, not necessarily because they don't want to get emotional again, but because they really feel like they don't want to cross a line with spirits.
Oh, and I've had that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are some people that kind of, you know, the way I've always sort of thought about it, especially doing a lot of these kind of shows, because Celebrity Ghost Stories is only one of probably four or five paranormal shows we ended up doing. But I've always sort of thought about that thing, like, you know, the more you poke the other side, the more, you know, eventually it's going to poke back. And I do think that people have that feeling sometimes. Like, they can talk about it, you could get right up to a line, but there is a line that you could cross where you might just be, you know, mixing it up a little too much.
Well, I don't know. I can tell you from my experience that the more I poke fun at it or have fun with it, talk about it, the less ghosts want anything to do with me. This has just been my experience. But maybe but you did kind of scare me when you said eventually it'll catch up to you, because it might be a day.
But not you. I'm just saying that, you know. I don't mean you.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia. Oh my God. I'm just remembering. The season one, episode three, Carrie Fisher, rest in peace. Rue McClanahan, rest in peace. John Waters. I'm a huge John Waters fan. My entire bathroom is Divine and John Waters themed. What was it like talking to John Waters about, I want to say it was his summer camp as a child. Of course I knew that.
Yes, of course. And that's, and, you know, he's one of those people. I mean, he just, you know, he's a storyteller, right? So he's not one of the people that comes in uncomfortable. He comes in, he sits down, he's like, where do I look? Let's get this going. And and he just, like, it's, you know, it's theater for him. And so that's like that magical mix, between a real story and someone who also just knows how to tell it. And, you know, I was a summer camp, like a sleepaway camp kid. And so for me, that was a super fun experience because of him. And then also kind of just, reliving some of my own, you know, like scary ghost story days and going into the woods and all that stuff. So, but he was great. I have a very fond memory of him and his story. And he's one of those people that probably could have stayed 8 hours because he was enjoying himself. We probably had three or four other celebrities to interview that day, so we had to say goodbye to him. But he was great. And that was also a really fun recreation to do with all those kids. It was always fun shooting the kids, especially on the recreations, because, you know, it's just crazy and unpredictable, and kids, you know, kids and animals. And so the kids, you know, they're doing whatever the hell they want, and we're giving them flashlights, and it's at night, and so they're running off in the woods, we're trying to get a shot, and all, you know, all that fun, crazy stuff that sort of stays in your memory. But he was great. We were so happy to have him so early on the series.
Was there a celebrity, like the one that got away?
Oh. I feel like there is the only, I'm sure there is, and I can't remember. I will tell you that one of the casting people once rode an elevator with Keanu Reeves. And Keanu has stories. He's been public about his stories. And she got up the nerve to ask if he would be on the show. And she said he actually seemed fairly interested, but was like, you know, in the edit for John Wick or something, like, you know, something like a $200 million movie, and just didn't have time at the moment to do the show. Because we were literally like, if you want to come downstairs right now, we'll interview you.
Oh, it was literally like at the building where you guys did the interviews?
Yes. It was in the building where the studio was.
I had a moment like this with Chris Pine a couple of months ago.
Oh my God.
I did a little thing with Chris Pine, and somebody had mentioned his ghost story, like somebody that had a mutual ghost story with him from a shoot that they did together, told it on my show. And then when I was working with him, it came up, and then he started telling his amazing ghost story. And I was just like, oh, I want to ask so bad. I ended up not. I chickened out. But I'm like, God, he's so busy. He's so, like, how would I even coordinate that? Is he going to be like, here's my phone number? Like, I doubt it. But
I do think at one point there had been some interest expressed from Demi Lovato.
Cool.
Which would have been very cool. It just didn't work out. I'm sure she's very busy.
Well, now she does.
She's doing Paranormal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know. And then Kesha ended up doing a whole Paranormal series after she had done Celebrity Ghost Stories, but also The Haunting of, which was our spinoff of Celebrity
Ghost
Stories.
With Kim Russo. Okay. How did that start?
Yeah. So this is actually a fun story. So I think in season two, we had the chance to interview Loretta Lynn, who sadly just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
We had a chance to interview her. But, you know, the show has always been in a studio, right? People come to a studio. We either do it in New York or L.A., and they sit down for a couple hours. And you know, we try to make it as super easy on them as possible. But Loretta Lynn didn't want to leave I can't remember the name of the compound in Tennessee. It's like this famous, you know, the Loretta Lynn house, where all these things have happened, and actually is famously haunted. And it also has, I think, an amusement park and a racetrack on her property. And so she said, you know what, I don't want to come to New York right now, but if you guys come to my house in Tennessee, then we can do the interview there.
Diva, I love it. That is such an amazing move.
Yeah.
Like, you guys could come over here. I'm not going over there.
And it at first, of course, we were like, well, I don't think we have the money to go down there. We don't have a big budget for this show. But then someone on the staff, and I had no idea, someone on the staff had said, you know, her house is haunted. Like, she has a famous haunted estate. So then we went to A&E, we went to the network, and we said, hey, since we're going down there to do this interview, why don't we turn this into a special? Let's do a whole hour on Loretta Lynn and see how it goes. And then the network said to us, you know, we have this psychic medium named Kim Russo, who has been working on a show that we do called Psychic Kids. And she's so good, and the audience loves her. What if you sent her down with you and you guys toured the property, and Kim could read the property and see what she gets, and then read Loretta, and we can kind of turn her normal everyday ghost story into something bigger. And so that's what we did. We went down, we brought Kim. We had never worked with her before. It was the first time we worked with her. And we turned it into a special, which was an episode, I think season two, maybe beginning of season three, it was a Celebrity Ghost Stories special. And then that did so well that the network said, why don't we do a whole series with Kim where she's taking celebrities back to the original, you know, location of their haunting and she tries to figure out, you know, what it was, who it was, why it happens, how to finally get the spirits to stop haunting them, whatever the particular story is. And we ended up doing close to 100 episodes of The Haunting Of with a lot of people from Celebrity Ghost Stories, but then a lot of new people who wanted to be on the show because they really respected Kim.
She seems good. I mean, I've never met her, but did she ever give you a reading or pick up on anything?
She did not. She has read my wife a bunch. She has read everyone on the staff, everyone at A&E Networks.
I
always try to come to the shows that we did. As a healthy skeptic. And I always found that helped me producing the shows and interviewing people, because the goal is to ask them questions and to produce them in a way that gives the right explanation to the audience as to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think if you believe too deeply in the work, you forget those, you know, sort of some, like, in a way, some of the obvious things. And because you don't know if the audience, if someone's watching it, is a full-on believer, is a total skeptic, is somewhere in the middle. And so Kim and I developed, and we work really well together, but I think we just developed this, like, very professional, like, let's go in and let's focus on the celebrity. I mean, there are many times where I kind of secretly wanted her to look at me and say, your grandfather's here, and this is what he has to say. But she didn't. I think we kind of set that early. But everyone else she read, very often she would read crew members, you know, without it being planned. I mean, it just sort of, it happened. And sometimes that would make its way onto camera. But I worked with a lot of psychic mediums, and Kim is the real deal. I've seen her do readings where even the biggest skeptic would say, that's not possible. How could she possibly know that? And that was fun. You know, that it was fun to be around someone that was constantly, constantly surprising everyone around her.
Yeah. And I think when you're a public figure or celebrity and you get read by psychics, of course, there's the obvious things that you can Google. But when a psychic can tell you about a childhood friend that they would never have known from any Google or book or biography, whatever, that's when it's like, damn, she's good.
Yeah. And a lot of celebrities came to that show as huge skeptics and like really looking to trip her up.
Uh-huh.
And I think by the end of every episode, the celebrities were convinced. And I saw people in the course of just a couple hours go from the biggest skeptics to like kneeling at her feet saying, just tell me how to live my life because you know everything. That's what it felt like. It was sometimes really fascinating to see.
What was it like when SNL did a parody of your show?
Now, SNL, okay, so that parody was 1 week after the pilot. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people assume that it was, you know, after the show had been on for years. And so it was 1 week after the pilot. And I remember that night so vividly because we had just finished the show. I think we literally finished editing the pilot like, you know, 3 days before it aired. It was just one of those like crash and burn, just get it on, you know, on the air. And then it aired. And then the next week I'm home and we have SNL on, but we're not watching it. I'm just sort of walking around. I'm in my kitchen. I don't remember exactly. And I hear the opening, you know, sort of words, the theme song of Celebrity Ghost Stories, I hear it. But I look over but it's Channel 4. And I know it's I'm not on the channel that the that our show is on. And I start, like, literally, I'm yelling upstairs to my wife, like, I don't understand. NBC is playing Celebrity Ghost Stories. What's going on? What's going on? And then Drew Barrymore pops up. She was
Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah. And it literally was one of those, like, mind, you know, I just didn't know what was happening. And it took me a couple of minutes to understand that Saturday Night Live, like, this show that literally I grew up with, everybody grew up with, was doing a spoof about a show that we just created. And then, of course, all the phone calls start coming in. Like, my parents and my friend and my mother-in-law, like, everyone's calling and saying, are you watching Celebrity Ghost Stories on SNL? And that was one of the more surreal moments.
That's so cool.
It was very cool. I think the really, really weird part about the whole thing, no one knows this, and Roz, I'm going to tell you the first, well, besides the crew. So in the beginning of the show, there's a voice when the tape recorder is playing. And
the one that goes, Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Yeah, so that's me.
That's you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll try to recreate it right now. Now, obviously, like, heavily affected, and the editor took my voice like four times and everything. But all right, I'm gonna try to recreate it. Okay, wait, let me see. Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Stop it!
Was that good? Did I get close?
Oh my God. This is the most iconic episode I've ever had, ever. this is insane.
So not only was I watching our show be spoofed on SNL, but I heard my voice on SNL. So that was a fun moment.
Well, I feel like the question that everyone wants to know is, any chance of that format, the original format, ever coming back?
We are in talks.
Sorry.
I almost just died. I can't promise, but I have, I think, made a very good sales pitch to the powers that be, that the show has been off long enough that there are now so many people who want to be on the show, like huge guests potentially, and the timing is right. It also feels like one of those things, like, someone else is going to bring back the show and it should be us, right?
Because of course.
Because we did it first. I do have obviously I love my A&E network friends and I do want them to do it. Although when I have to say that now with like streaming, bringing back the show everywhere, like wouldn't it be so cool if Hulu did, like we did a version with Hulu or we did a version with Disney Plus. So I'm putting that out there in the universe that someone, we should do the show again because people love the show.
Oh my God. If you need anyone to, like, I don't know, give
I'm going to get you in the pitch meetings.
I'll do anything. I'll do anything to say that I could just had something to do with Celebrity Ghost Stories.
So I appreciate that.
Because right now it's, where is it? Disney Plus, Hulu, Amazon, YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure other places, but that's, yeah, just, they just launched it on Disney Plus, which I thought was so weird in the beginning, but, and only seasons 5 and 6. I don't know what like contractual deals are made behind the scenes to, you know, because the networks do all that fun business stuff.
Right.
But I think you can see most of the episodes on Hulu. I think they're still on Amazon. I think, you know, on A&E or actually like Lifetime or LMN on their YouTube page, you could watch it. So there's a lot of places to still watch it. It's
now,
fun.
Have you had experiences of your own?
I I had one experience. I can't say it's the greatest, you know, like this is the thing that convinced me. But it was spooky. So we were doing, it was season two. We were doing the recreation for the Marilyn Manson story.
Yep, I remember.
And so part of the story is that, you know, it takes place when he's in high school and he, you know, is starting to get into weird stuff and satanic reading and all this stuff. And so we were recreating this satanic setup, satanic ritual in a barn. I don't think it was his, I think like his brother was doing all this weird, crazy satanic stuff. And it was, you know, the pentagrams and smeared blood. I mean, none of it's real, of course. It was just a recreation and a fake pig hanging upside down, like just crazy stuff. And we're in this barn and it's really spooky. And, you know, we're getting ready for a shot. Everybody's setting things up and the art director and everything. And I was directing that recreation. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my shoulder. And it was, but it was so real. You know, like I could feel five fingers literally on my shoulder. And it just felt like it was someone who was kind of grabbing me to, you know, gently turn me around to ask me a question or something. And I turned around, and I mean, literally, like the hand sort of turned me, and there was no one for like 20 feet.
Weird.
I mean, no one. And this is not like wind brushing across. Like it wasn't, it was a absolutely a physical hand. But when I turned and I turned quickly, there was no one. I mean, there was no one remotely close enough to have touched me in that moment. So that really freaked me out. I think, you know, partly because we're recreating a satanic ritual.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, there were a lot of weird things. So I didn't have that many. There was a couple other times maybe like I felt like I saw something, but I wasn't 100% sure. But there were several crew members who had full-on paranormal experiences. It was always during filming of crazy recreations.
Really? Do you think that it was connected to the locations, or is this an example of talking about ghost stuff and then the ghosts are like, did someone say our name?
We always seem to find out after the fact that we were filming in haunted locations. Now, we're picking locations, to be honest, just because we, you know, it's a good price, right? So, you know, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, we should shoot a lot of stuff on Staten Island. And there's all these, like, abandoned buildings and old penitentiaries and, you know, old, like, naval schools that now no one lives in. So those are perfect for recreations. And also, you could get them kind of cheap. And so we would set up camp and shoot there for a few days or a week. And that's where a lot of people on the crew had experiences. And then, of course, you know, you would... It was funny because it's like right out of a ghost story, right out of one of our celebrity ghost stories. Like after the stuff happened, like the caretaker of the old penitentiary would say, oh, yeah, we've had hundreds of reports of, you know, of three ghosts that like to, you know, bite at people's ankles when they're walking through the basement. I mean, whatever it is. So that was always weird. And it was always like, were we drawn to those places? Are we going there? And because we're talking about ghosts, we're stirring things up. I don't know. But there were a few crew members who would work on a season and then not come back the next season.
Okay, this is the next spinoff: Celebrity Ghost Stories Stories. Hi. And it's crew members doing, there's recreations of the recreations. It's very meta.
I like it. You know what? We should add also, you know, now everybody's like talking about VR and meta and like those Oculus glasses, you know, all that like virtual reality stuff. Now we should do Celebrity Ghost Stories behind the scenes but in virtual reality. So now you put on the goggles and you're literally living the experience
of
the
haunted
crew members.
This is too scary. That's why I was talking to Kyle, my producer, right before you came on the Zoom. We were talking about the show, and he had just started watching it. And he's like, it's scary, like, to watch alone at nighttime and to hear the whisper at nighttime. I can't tell you how many years I'd watched this show, because I watched it when it was originally on, and and I've seen it many times since. But I've had so many times where I'm like watching it and then I hear that damn whisper and we're getting into it. There's the sound design, all of it. And I'm like, you know what? I can't do this tonight.
Yeah.
So you're master of horror, Seth Jarrett.
We had a great team. And like I said, it was a very small team, but that also benefited the show. You know, we had, you know, most of the credit for all of the scary came down to our director of photography, who shot hundreds of episodes. His name was Tim Smith. We had an editor named Tim Dixon. I feel like I have to give him shout outs. And he really, this editor, along with a couple others, a great editor named Kieran, but this guy, Tim Dixon, was the master of sound design and creating, you know, all the little flashes. And you know, one thing that a lot of people don't, they see it, but they don't really know what they're seeing, is that we also would take thousands and thousands of photographs during the recreations while we were filming. And so if you go back now you'll see it. It probably just felt like this spooky effect and you kind of didn't really know. You just felt the eeriness. But a lot of the success visually of the show was that we used to intercut video and these photographs and sort of seamlessly work them together. So we had actual photographers who would work on the show. We had a couple of producers, Kathy Watson, Andrea DeBrito. They were people who would produce the photograph sort of unit. Again, the unit was like one person. But that was a huge sort of visual part of the show. So, you know, it was just one of those shows where we were like, let's just mess around and try tricks and what's scary. And we used to watch hundreds of, you know, horror movie trailers and kind of, you know, steal / be inspired by fun jump scares and things that we can incorporate into the show. And again, at the time, people were doing some ghost hunter shows or they were doing some cheesy stuff, but no one was sort of doing what we were doing on TV. So, you know, I think that's why so many people really liked it and remember it.
Yeah, and continue to like it. And people tell me all the time that I always get emails from people saying, I heard about the show from you and it's so good. Mm. And I'm hearing people all the time that just discovered it.
That's awesome.
Kyle just discovered it. He just started watching it. So, I mean, there's an audience that wants it. They want more.
I have a 16-year-old daughter. She's in high school, and she says now that some of her friends talk about the show, and they just discovered it, you know, on Hulu or Disney or whatever it is. So that, I mean, that's the crazy thing about streaming, right? It used to be that a show was on, maybe it repeated a couple of times, and then that was it, right? I mean, it kind of went away until, you know, repeats. And now you can watch it in, you know, 10 different places. And so new audiences are finding, you know, this show and obviously lots of shows. So that's been really fun and rewarding to see. Drives my daughter a little bit crazy when she hears her friends talking about my show. But, you know.
Does she tell them, like, my dad's the one that does the whisper?
I don't know if she knows. You know, now I got to tell her. I don't want to freak her out, like, you know, if she goes and, you know. Although she watches horror movies, so maybe she would think it would be cool. But yeah, that's one of my claims to fame, the whisper.
Please. Seth, you have been so generous with your time. This has been a dream come true that I didn't even know I had. This is like the coolest thing. I didn't realize I was talking to the Whisper. I didn't realize. I mean, this is so great. Are there any other stories before you go that you would like to share about celebrity ghost stories?
Oh my God. Well, let me hear a trivia question for you, since you're a fan.
Okay.
Who is the only celebrity to have played themselves in the recreation?
Oh.
It only happened once. It was one of the more bizarre experiences of my life when he or she, I won't tell you yet, called and said, I will only do the show if I get to play myself in the recreation. And I'll give you a little hint. And my two daughters have to be in the recreation.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I can't think of who that was.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, wow. So, and yeah. How many times did she do it? Like,
she only did the show once.
Okay.
But her story was, it started when she was a small child and she got very sick on a trip with her mom in Mexico and she almost died. And these two little girl ghosts came to her while she was in the hospital. They were in Mexico City, but it was snowing, and these two little ghost girls were dancing around, and they sort of gave her the light and the hope to come back to life, because she was literally like hours from dying, Rebecca. And then she realized many years later when she was with her children and she saw her daughters in the same position that she saw these little girls, you know, many years earlier, she realized that her unborn children had come to her.
Yes.
When she was a child and had saved her life. And so, it was just such a bizarre thing. Like, she wanted to do the show, and we had never had anyone, you know, it's hard enough to get celebrities to sit down, like to ask them to be in their recreations never seemed like anything that seemed, you know, that seemed even remotely possible. And here's Rebecca De Mornay. And again, like talking, you know, child of the 80s, you know, she was in risky business, right? I mean, she's like, I probably had her poster up on my wall when I was, you know, 14. And now she wants, like, I'm going to get to direct her. And so she flew out. So we shot it on Long Island. She flew out with her daughters. She wanted her two daughters to be in it. We spent, you know, usually we shoot the recreations for these stories in, like, literally in, like, 5-6 hours. But because Rebecca was doing it, we dedicated, like, 3 full days to doing that one because we just really wanted it to be good. So that's one. Visually, like, I love it. It really feels like a mini movie. Go back and watch that one.
I have to.
It's really good. And it's so surreal seeing someone like Rebecca De Mornay in a recreation for our show. But she was amazing. And it wasn't even like, I'm a big star, but I'm going to be in your, like, she was just excited to do it. She loved to tell the story. I think she was just excited to get, like, kind of expose her daughters to the, you know, to like a mini version of the film world. And we did it. And that was a cool experience.
Yeah. Well, it's so fascinating that the story involved them. And yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So but when we do the Celebrity Ghost Stories movie, we are going to have someone super famous playing themselves. That's the goal.
Yes.
Again,
I'm trying to think of everyone that I've had that's been on there. And I know, okay, here's who I can think of off the top of my head. Because I had a lot more. When I first started the podcast, it was mainly me talking to celebrities about their ghost stories. And then it's more recently changed to just me having funny people on and we talk about ghosts. But I love to have, like, a celebrity with a ghost story on. But people that I've had...
You had Wendy McClendon-Covey.
Yes.
Right. I loved her story.
I love her so much. We got to talk about that, which was amazing. I've had Cassandra Peterson. Actually, I learned from her audiobook, it's pronounced Cassandra Peterson. I've had Jay Rodriguez from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I've had, God, so many. Bridget Marquardt.
Right. Was doing her podcast.
You did her podcast?
No, I said she's doing the podcast. I imagine that Celebrity Ghost Stories helped sort of inspire her.
Oh, totally. She's all into that stuff. Yeah, she's been on the pod. I've been on hers. I love her. She's awesome. I don't know. I've had so many people that have been on it, and I hope to have more. And, okay, no, here's my next pitch. When you bring the show back, if you want to do an after show or something like that, sign me up, because I'm the mega fan over here.
Wait, I didn't ask you. I feel bad. Okay. Do you have a story? Could you be on Celebrity Ghost Stories?
I'm not a celebrity yet, but what? I mean,
of course you're a celebrity. What would a celebrity mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
People listen to you. You're a celebrity.
That would be the craziest dream come true scenario.
We're going to make it happen.
Okay, and I will be the second celebrity to do their own recreation.
Okay, great.
And and I will be wearing a wig as myself in the recreation.
Yeah.
I won't use my own hair. Okay. I want to wear a wig. Wait, you did other paranormal shows too, right?
So we did The Haunting of.
Yes.
And another show that we did that I really loved, and it was sadly only one season. I feel like it's one of those shows that should be in season 10 right now. It was called School Spirits.
Okay, about haunted colleges and...
Haunted colleges, and mostly colleges, some high schools. That was on Sci-Fi, and then they sort of moved away a little bit from the paranormal. But that's a good show. That was... And very scary. That one even, I think, takes the recreations and how scary they are to the next level. And that's just that's a good one. That one feels one step closer, I think, to a horror movie.
Would you say, from talking to so many people and hearing their stories, has it changed your beliefs at all on this stuff?
100%. 100%. I would definitely think... I'm in the middle, leaning towards believer. And I would say before I did these shows, I was somewhere between total skeptic and maybe believer. But absolutely, look, I'm one of those people where I want something to happen right in front of my face so that I can say definitively. But I would say that I've watched and heard so many people, I said before, when people are making something up, and when they believe it to their core, when they're literally shaking. And I don't care how good of an actor you are, but when you see someone shaking and their voice quivering because they're scared to say something, either because they're afraid to relive it, or because they're afraid that they may be speaking directly to a spirit, which, again, some people do believe. When you see that over and over and over, you have to believe that there's something out there. I don't know what it is, but there is definitely something that is happening that I would love to learn more about.
But that's the fun of it. We can't. We'll never know.
No, or maybe we will. I hope not.
I don't want to know, because then it's not fun. It's not mysterious. It's just stuff that happens. I like to get spooked. And ponder, what could that possibly be? Well, Seth, this has just been an iconic day. Thank you so much for doing this. This is the best Christmas present.
This is amazing. I want to keep talking to you. Can we do this actually, maybe I'll just call you late one night and whisper. Would that be creepy?
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Wait. Or do my voicemail. You've raged, Ross.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I might need a little help from my sound designer, but I could definitely do that for you. Definitely.
Well, is there anything you want to tell the listeners where they can watch anything or anything else going on?
Just, you know,
look out for Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Watch the stories, like, you know, post and comment, and let's just, like, let's get this back. Let's get it back on the air, and that would be so much fun, because there's so many people out there that still have stories to tell.
Oh yeah.
And I just, like I started before, I so appreciate your support of the show, and it makes me so happy that you have enjoyed it and that you've talked about it on the podcast. It's literally like you've made my year. You really have, Ross.
Oh my God, I'm so happy we met. This is amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much to Seth. What a magical experience that was getting to meet him, and I hope we stay in touch. This one we recorded over Zoom, and so I don't have a video version of it. I pretty much only have those if we do it in person. So you cannot find a video version of it on YouTube. But next week, I have one in studio that I will be putting up on YouTube, and all those other, you know, recent in-person ones you can find on YouTube as well. The link to that is in the description of this episode, as well as the Patreon, which has stuff from the past few years. Nothing current at this very moment. I just stopped at the beginning of the year, but there's tons of stuff on there if you want to hear more of me doing full-length podcasts and little videos from my life. And please subscribe to the show, follow it, rate it 5 stars, tell your friends, leave a nice 5-star review telling me how much you love the show. Or you could leave a ghost story in a 5-star review. Or you could send one to ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. Also, where you could send a listener episode submission. Just put in the subject line, listener episode, and some bullet points of your stories. We also have a Facebook group. It's called Ghosted by Roz Hernandez. Great place to write out some stories for me to read on the show, because I do love reading those. So if you have the time, I always appreciate that. And follow me on Instagram at Roz Hernandez, TikTok and Twitter at It's Roz Hernandez. I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Star Burns Audio, a podcast network.